Dr. John Howe is the new president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, and he's here today to help us learn more about all of the ways AVMA is helping us every day. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And we're here, and it's there's so many parts of AVMA that a lot of our members know about, and some maybe that are a little more hidden. But one of those things that's a big passion and integral to AVMA right now is the One Health Initiative.
Yes, it is.
Can you elaborate a little more on that?
Sure. One Health is really a collaboration between veterinarians, physicians, other public health officials, environmentalists even. And so we work very closely with research projects, with all of that. Even the Surgeon General that spoke at our opening session talked about how important One Health is, and he realized the importance of all that veterinarians do in regards to One Health. You know, as you know, we have a U.S. Public Health Service. We have uniform veterinarians in all branches of the service. In fact, in May, I was in Garmisch, Germany, speaking at the International Military Veterinary Medical and One Health Symposium. So all of our NATO allies were there, and they were out. They had 4 days of seminars on best practices to help detect diseases, communicable diseases, zoonotic diseases. There are things out there like alpha radiation that people don't even realize, and the Germans have been able to detect that. In fact, one nanoparticle of that, a thousandth the size of a grain of salt, will kill somebody. So our military is the best trained military in the entire world for public health and zoonotic disease. I was thoroughly impressed with all that they do. I had no idea the breadth and depth that they do in all these branches of, you know, whether it's food safety or taking care of the dogs, but they have specialists in every single branch of veterinary medicine.
It almost blows your mind how important that role is, and thank goodness they are there.
Yes.
Right, for all of us.
It is.
Taking that down to a more day-to-day level, it's certainly important to be thinking about this on a global scale, but for the practicing veterinarian, it seems like sometimes we forget that we are public health officers, right?
That's right.
So what do you encourage people who are practicing in small malpractice like myself to keep it front of mind so that we are protecting not only the pets, but the families?
You know, I think it's important for us to always relate to our clients, all the zoonotic aspects of disease. Sometimes we overlook that. We don't stress it to the client enough. And I think a lot of times pets have things that, you know, we don't worry about it. We're not even careful sometimes with how protective we are, what kind of protective clothing we should have. And a lot of people have come up, like I live in northern Minnesota, but their veterinarian down in the Twin Cities may think because they live in a metro area, their dog doesn't have exposure, for example, to leptospirosis. And of course, they come up to their cabins up north and they get exposed to those things through deer urine and everything else, and they get leptospirosis. So there's a lot of aspects of that. I think it's important for veterinarians to relate to their clients all the things that veterinarians do. You know, let them know that, you know, I might be a small animal veterinarian, for instance, if that's what they are, and letting them know that there's veterinarians in epidemiology and in public health and food safety, food security. There are veterinarians in Homeland Security. There are veterinarians in Food Safety Inspection Service and USDA APHIS. And so I think it's good to let veterinarians know all that we do so they don't think we're just puppy doctors.
That's right. We wear lots of different hats, don't we?
Yes, we do.
So for people listening who are thinking, gosh, this sounds so exciting and amazing, and all these different ways that groups are collaborating to provide a better world for everyone and our pets, how could they get more involved?
Well, they can go to avma.org, and there are so many websites and spots there that they can find all the things, of course, that we do. Even aquatic medicine. About 12 years ago, I became involved in aquatic medicine. Minnesota did not want to get viral hemorrhagic septicemia into our inland lakes. So the DNR recruited people, and I took courses, and I got so interested that I ended up taking over 300 hours of CE in aquatic animal medicine and became a certified veterinarian with the World Aquatic Vet Med Association. And they're involved in so many things. And then the American Association of Fish Veterinarians, and it's not just pet fish. That involves our food supply, you know, farmed aquatic animals and animals that are raised out in sea and sea nets. So there's a lot of areas where we can be involved.
so many different veterinarians around the world playing a part in keeping our world a better place, but we've got to be able to communicate with all of them, right, and provide the knowledge and certainly what's happening and what the benefits are to our members of AVMA. And can you talk a little bit more about what AVMA is doing to make sure their message gets to the membership?
Sure. So as I mentioned in my speech last Friday, communication to members is very important to me. And we've done a marvelous job. We've gotten so much better through our marketing and division, our MarCom division, but we still have a long way to go. And a lot of veterinarians, sometimes they just aren't excited about speaking to fellow colleagues about all the good things AVMA does. We have so many great things out there, from Axon, so people can get online CE. We have at least 50 different topics and more coming all the time, to all the things that we do. So when people get back from a convention and they're all happy and excited, whether it's this or any of the other conventions, it's important to go back and talk to their associates. It's important to go back in regional meetings and say all the good things that all these conventions do. Because without the knowledge, you just think everything's the same. There are veterinarians that haven't been to big conventions in years. They go to small CE, they don't read a lot of magazines, so they just get by and they have no idea all the great things that are out there for them. There's a lot of perks from AVMA. And all that we've done through the Government Relations Division, so GRD here in Washington, D.C., does some fantastic work.
And one of those big topics continues to be the Fairness Act, right? Can you give us an update?
Sure. So the Fairness to Pet Owners Act, which started several years ago, introduced by a couple of senators, every year it comes up. And every year, veterinarians worry about it, and rightfully so, because it would be so unfair. In fact, most of us call it the Unfairness to Veterinarians Act, because we would have to write a prescription for every single thing that client comes in for. The dog comes in, may have some renal disease, some cardiac disease. So we write out 5 prescriptions, and we hand it to them, and they say, well, can't you just fill these for me? Well, sure I could, but I have to tell you now, because of this new law, that you can take these prescriptions and go to Walmart or Kmart or Walgreens or online and get them filled there. And so we waste all that time, 20 minutes maybe extra per client of our time that's not really needed to do so, because AVMA policy says that we should write out prescriptions for clients, and that's part of our ethics. And so we pretty much have to do that anyway. And almost all the states have that as a requirement in their practice act. So it's really unnecessary and just not fair.
And we're so thankful that people are there fighting for us.
Yes,
right?
We are.
And representing us as a faction. Because we're a relatively small group, right?
We are. We may be 93,000, but that's relatively small compared to some other groups.
But I heard that recently we've had the ability through AVMA membership to have association health plans come back.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
That's been very exciting. So it's been introduced in several states in July. And I just heard today that the Secretary of Labor, Assistant Secretary of Labor, met with our people with the trust. And they're going to do everything they can to help expand this in the other states. And because these premiums that AVMA has for health plans are a lot cheaper than most of the other premiums. And this is through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. So great plans at a great price, and what a benefit for members.
It really is. So we've covered the physical health and certainly legislatively protecting their ability to practice the way they want to, but you're also focusing a lot on well-being, right?
Yes. And we have a well-being summit coming up this fall that people should go to. We have well-being in all the schools. Most of the schools I've talked to, the deans, we meet with the American Association of Veterinary Medical Colleges, and that's even part of the curriculum up there. So they have to have somebody on staff in most of the colleges. So we're doing great things, offering a lot of different programs for well-being. Actually online, we have one online also at avma.org/well-being, and they can take a QPR course, and it's free to AVMA members, and great things.
So good to hear. And it sounds like if you're interested in not only the membership, but also the education, there's digital online education modules, and now even a track that's going to be coming at WVC, sponsored by AVMA.
Yes.
So lots of opportunity, and we're so thankful for your leadership and your service to the profession.
Thank you.
Anxious to see what's ahead. Thanks
so
much for your time.
You bet. Thank you.